This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Kendrick Perkins, what do you see when you look at the Bucks?
I see a dumb team.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And I say that respectfully. They're missing an IQ.
Savage, man.
The Rich Eisen Show.
When Giannis makes the jump shot, watch the Brooklyn Nets bench.
Earlier on the show, three-time NBA champion B.J. Armstrong, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, host of the Right Time podcast, Bomani Jones. Coming up, MLB insider Jeff Passan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Phil Mickelson going through his opening round of the only major he has not won. The defending PGA champion is on the course at Torrey Pines in his native San Diego. Chris Brockman, where does Phil Mickelson stand before we get to our friend Jeff Passan from ESPN to talk some baseball and more?
Yeah, Phil's kind of struggling so far, guys. He's plus two through five holes.
Okay, so he started off the back, and he's already halfway through the backside, and he is two over. Two under is the lead, so four back is not terribly bad.
Six guys at two under right now, including Xander Schauffele and Matt Fitzpatrick.
Okay, very good. We'll keep an eye on that throughout the third hour of this show. B.J. Armstrong, Mike Vrabel of the Titans, Bomani Jones already been on. If you missed any of it, go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. You can find all of our archived materials there as well. We have not spoken to the man yet this season. He was one of our favorites from the worldwide leader in sports, Baseball Insider, senior insider. I'll just keep it. You're an executive vice president of Insider Information from ESPN, Jeff Passan. How are you, Jeff?
I think the last time I played Torrey Pines was my wedding weekend almost 15 years ago, and I'm pretty sure I was two over after the first hole.
Okay.
So I think Phil's doing great.
Excellent. Very good. Very, very good. Did you use any pine tar to improve the grip on your clubs that day, Jeff? Or
If I used pine tar or spider tack or anything, I would still be absolutely awful. So I did not need to use foreign substances to suck.
Let's get into, I don't know where to get into this. Let's start with where we are now before we get into the why we are now here. Where are we now on this subject matter with baseball and its pitchers and hitters who are on various sides of this subject?
Sometimes, Rich, I like contextualizing things not by looking backward, but by looking forward.
Okay.
And we are 4 days away from one of the most interesting days I've had in almost 20 years I've been covering baseball, which is the day that foreign substance enforcement is going to begin. You have to remember, baseball has not suspended a player for foreign substances in more than 6 years. And all of a sudden, we may have a rash of suspensions coming down because umpires are going to be like TSA agents, checking guys for things between innings, practically running them through sticky substance detectors and trying to figure out on the fly something that baseball for the longest time has just accepted as normal. And it's a sea change, and it's fascinating because there are great points, I think, on all sides. Major League Baseball says we don't want people to cheat. That's a reasonable thing to say. I get it, and I like that idea. But Major League Baseball also has allowed cheating to proliferate to the point where it got so excessive that they felt like they had to do something about it. Players, on the other hand, say, we don't want people to cheat either, but the balls, we feel like after having thrown them with sticky stuff on our hands for as long as we have, it's going to be a really difficult thing to do. And yeah, it is. Like, you know, a tiger can't sit there and wish its stripes away. And players, similarly, can't sit there and say after years of doing something a particular way that changing is going to be easy or reasonable or good. So there are a lot of dynamics at play here. And the intersection of them all makes for a really fascinating, rich story.
So let's get into, I guess, what's going to happen 4 days from now. Like literally when a pitcher comes into a game, warms up, finishes the inning, the umpire already probably knows what this scouting report from Central Baseball is on this particular pitcher, right?
Yeah.
And then that particular pitcher strolls off the mound. What happens if they feel like this guy actually did something that coming into the game they were suspecting of him of? What happens? Like, how does this work?
I don't even know if it's suspecting necessarily. I mean, the starting pitchers are going to get checked at least twice. That's what the rule says. And relief pitchers are going to get checked as well after the inning they first throw. So umpires, home plate umpire every inning is going to walk over to the dugout and is going to look at the belt, going to look at the pants, going to look at the hands, going to look at the jersey, going to look at the hat, going to look at all these different things. I mean, one guy I'm really interested to see is Craig Kimbrell. Craig Kimbrell's hat is one of the most disgusting things on earth. Like, I would not want to be anywhere near that. It's just got this big, gross splotch right in the middle of the brim. And I'll be curious to see if Craig Kimbrell comes out with a brand new fresh hat that doesn't have anything in there. And by the way, I am not trying to single out Craig Kimbrell here. I want to make it clear that a vast majority of pitchers in baseball use something to get grip on the ball. And that's part of the issue here. I think the reason that it's blowing up the way that it is, beyond the fact that it is against the letter of the law, is the just how widespread it really is. I mean, there are a lot of guys, Rich, who are using something, and considering you have a rule on the book saying that that's wrong, it just makes for an interesting situation. And you don't know how different umpires are going to enforce it. Are there going to be some guys who are real sticklers? Are there going to be some guys who say, that doesn't look like too much sticky stuff, you can go out and do it? Like, what's the line? It's a very arbitrary thing. And the arbitrariness of it makes me wonder whether some umpires are going to get the reputation as guys who will allow a little bit of leeway, whereas others are simply not going to.
What a hot mess, Jeff. I mean, there's no other way to put it, a hot mess, because it will be just because there are, 30 clubs, 15 games a day, right? And 15 different umpiring units. And thus, there will be what appears to be different applications of the enforcement by nature, that there's 15 different ones, and it will come across potentially as arbitrary and capricious, and baseball can see that coming down the pike. There's no question about that. And so the question I have about that is, why won't they head it off at the pass by sitting down and coming up with a substance that everybody agrees is copacetic, put it on the mound for everyone to see, and forget about it. Set it and forget it. Why can't that be done? Why can't that be done in the next 90 hours? I mean, Gerrit Cole last night, Jeff, pleaded for baseball to listen to it. So we know you have the hammer. So why can't that be done with a bunch of smart people who know this is the last thing anybody wants? Everybody.
So I think there are a few things here. Let's start with the substance itself. What is proper? What is right? What is good? What is not cheating but is sticky? It's almost like you're looking for this mystery substance, Rich, that does not exist. Because let's go back to why this has become a problem in the first place. Pitchers started understanding how important spin was. Organizations started emphasizing spin. And I'm sorry, but naturally getting more spin out of your pitches, multiple hundreds of revolutions per minute, is almost a near impossibility. Like, you gain spin as you gain velocity typically, but, there's a finite amount of velocity left in your arm before it's going to explode because you're taxing it too much. And so pitchers started understanding, hold on a second, if I use an extremely sticky substance, the one thing that affects spin the most is friction. And that's why they are using stuff like Spider Tack, which is made by a strong man in order to hold 300-pound Atlas stones, as opposed to 5-ounce baseballs. They're using it because it works. And so Major League Baseball doesn't want to go out there and put something on the mound that helps players essentially cheat And yet by treating spider tack the same way that they are pine tar or a combination of sunscreen and rosin, they're essentially saying that those are the same, whereas at the same time, they're trying and have been trying to develop some kind of substance that could be universally used. It's silly, and it's illogical to go cold turkey when the league is trying to do something that would not be cold turkey. And so I've said from the beginning, either put a thing of sunscreen out on the mound and allow umpires to watch players apply it, or put a pine tar rag out on the mound and allow umpires to watch players dab at it. Like, there are solutions, and there should be, but a big part of the problem here, Rich, is that the sides just don't get along and haven't sat down with one another to talk about this. And because of that, unfortunately, we end up with this situation.
Jeff, I've been saying over the last 2 days for sure that when I heard what Glasnow had to say and what Cole had to say over the last 2 days, I'm not sitting here and focused on the sticky stuff. I'm saying when you've got hitters saying Central Baseball is not protecting us because they're letting these pitchers do all this stuff with the baseball. And then there's other hitters saying Central Baseball is not protecting us because they're taking that stuff away from the pitchers and they're going to hit us in the face. And then you got pitchers saying Central Baseball is not protecting us because they're making me go cold turkey and now I've got a rehab hoping to get back my career in order for the playoffs. All of them basically saying Central Baseball is not protecting us. And what Cole had to say was, we know you've got the hammer. Talk to us. I'm sitting here saying, they got a collective bargaining agreement to figure this thing out. There's no way the hell they're going to get this done when there's billions on the table and they don't trust each other to even figure this thing out. You know, that's my real concern, that this is just the latest symptom. Another symptom was last year where they couldn't figure out what the schedule was going to be during the pandemic and damn near had a lockout almost. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm
Listen, all of that is right. What has happened here is a function of a relationship that's broken. And they don't trust each other. And they think that both sides are operating in bad faith. And it becomes, unfortunately, a really problematic thing when you have something like this that should have a solution, right? Like, there should be a solution to this. A reasonable solution, a compromise, but there isn't.
A physical solution that you could put on a baseball. You know what I mean? Like, why did baseball not deal with this in the offseason? Well, I mean, you could see this coming down the pike, right?
I will say this.
How are we here? I know you want to look forward, but I mean, looking back is definitely why we're here.
I just wanted to look forward for what's fascinating coming up. Looking back is important. It's imperative to have context for this. And I think when you're looking back, the fault that you can place on Major League Baseball and the teams and front offices as well is twofold. Number one, it's both tacitly and explicitly encouraging players to use this sort of thing. I mean, there are some organizations that hired chemists to go out and make like really good sticky stuff. And the idea that organizations are going to pitchers and saying spin, velo, as opposed to, hey, let's control and command the baseball. Like, that shows you where the game has gone. And a big reason why you see all the strikeouts you do these days and why the pace of the game has slowed down to a snail's is because of this. But Major League Baseball's known about this for a long time. And for a while, MLB listened to the players and the hitters especially were saying, hey, we want these guys to have substances because they feel like they can control the ball better that way. And there is an element of truth to that. It was just the give us an inch and we'll take a mile, or give us an inch and we'll take a marathon. That's what happened here. You know, baseball made this okay. And because something like sunscreen rosin or pine tar, which has been used for decades, was deemed okay, other pitchers said, well, if that's okay, then what can really juice our spin and make us even better?
And teams were hiring chemists? Jeff, did I hear that right? Like, literally, there's a scientific wing of a certain Major League Baseball club or clubs to figure out what's the best substance to put on a glove or a hat or a belt or inside here, inside there?
I mean, Rich, this has nothing new. There's a I don't know if it's apocryphal, I don't believe it is, story of a pitcher who will combine, it's called a Moda stick, which is a pine tar stick that pitchers use or that batters use, and you see him rubbing it on the handle of their bat. It's a Moda stick, liquid pine tar, and Coca-Cola, and they put it inside of a Coke can and use a lighter underneath and melt it. I mean, it's like drugs. And the stuff hardens up, and this is the substance of choice for a number of guys. There was a former clubhouse attendant for the Los Angeles Angels named Brian Harkins, and everyone called him Bubba, and Bubba had some of the best stuff in the league. And, you know, he ended up getting fired last year because of this, and because MLB had sent out a memo saying, hey, if any club employees are known to be aiding and abetting in this, they're going to be held responsible. Well, he sued the Angels in Major League Baseball, and in his lawsuit, he named Garrett Cole and gave text messages. He named Max Scherzer. He named Justin Verlander. He named Adam Wainwright. You know, he dimed on a bunch of guys. And those aren't small names that I'm saying there, Rich. Like, those are guys who are among the elite in the game. And I don't sit here and question their accomplishments or their ability to be great baseball players. But there's a continuum on which you look at the actions of guys and what they're doing. And this certainly is not on the side of the continuum where you think a guy like Ken Griffey Jr. was clean in an era where there were, you know, rampant PEDs. Like, you have to look at pitchers a little bit differently and their accomplishments a little bit differently because of it. And we'll always sit there and wonder, you know, how good would this guy have been otherwise?
I don't know if it's just the century we live in, Jeff. But, you know, we had Rod Carew on last show, and I asked him about this very subject, and he was talking about, he tells Gaylord Perry, you know, back in the day, you know, keep putting on whatever you want to put on the ball, just hit the dry side of it. Like, you know, and we'd laugh like that's ha ha. That's when baseball was great. And maybe this is just this different version of that, or that is at least whatever the hell he was putting on. It's not like, you know, weapons grade material that a team is tasking a chemist to find. You know,
this goes back, Rich. This goes back a century. Remember, the spitball was outlawed in 2000 or in 1920, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is loading up the ball has been going back a long time. It's a little different. In Gaylord Perry's era, because Gaylord Perry was, you know, he was a sinker baller. He was putting wet stuff on the ball as opposed to sticky stuff. He was trying to get less spin on it, because with sinkers, the less spin you have, the more the ball dives. Now, baseball has become a four-seam fastball and breaking ball game, and the more spin you can get on your four-seam fastball, the higher it stays in the zone. So, you know, the less effect gravity has on it. And the more spin you get on your breaking ball, the more they move. So it's the same thing. It's just a different era. And cheating, like, I think that's what we take away from this. Cheating is just such a part of baseball. And we've seen a lot of it these last few years.
Before I let you go, Jeff, what can you tell me about DeGrom? Anything? What's going on with him in the Mets? I mean,
stud. Let's put it this way. Nobody knows Jacob DeGrom's body better than Jacob DeGrom. And the fact that after the game last night, he was talking about how he doesn't feel like this is that big of a deal leads me to believe that he's going to be okay. But I'm just wondering what's next. Like, is it going to be like his coccyx? Is it going to be like his appendix? I mean, he's had a shoulder, an elbow, a back.
A lat.
I mean, like, it's been a lot this year. And if... You know, I just don't want Jacob DeGrom's body to pay the price for our collective joy, because, man, it's so much fun to watch him pitch. Like, he's just the closest facsimile I have. I was not covering baseball. You know, I was in college during this time. But like 97, 98, 99, 2000 Pedro Martinez. I mean, it was, he was just so much better than everyone else and so dominant. Every time he went out there, it was like, how are these guys going to hit him? And that's what Jacob deGrom's been. Last night, three innings, eight punch outs, perfect. And, you know, the body, unfortunately, Rich, is just a fragile thing, whether you are a superhero like Jacob deGrom or a guy who's running a 5'8 40.
I appreciate, I assume you're referring to my 40, and I appreciate you shaving a couple tenths of a second off, Jeff, you know, but I just need to.
Rich, it is your show, and if I have to lie to make you look better, then I'm going to do that every day.
It's okay, Jeff, it's okay. I'm just running cold turkey. I used to have spider tack on it, that's why I ran slower. You know, I'm just running cold turkey. Thanks for the call, Jeff, you are the best. Let's do this again soon.
Call anytime, buddy. Take care.
That's Jeff Passan. At Jeff Passan. I follow him. You should, too.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what to say. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. There is, in fact, you just got in my ears. We hung up the phone. There is, in fact, Jacob deGrom news. Matt LaFleur has spoken about Aaron Rodgers one last time.
Jeez. Again?
Before breaking for the summer. We're back from the break in a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The movie title, True or False, As Good As It Gets, was originally called Old Friends. Is that a true story? Is that a true story?
That is true.
That is celebrity
Rich.
True? That is celebrity that is true or false?
It was called Old Friends. In fact, I passed out on that as gifts, little frames
yes.
of my dog, Verdell. Six little Verdells, darling little dogs.
Yes.
When they're not crapping in your trailer.
Right.
And it said Old Friends on it. So that's a collector's item right there.
Next one. When Sidney Pollack called you to cast you in Sabrina, you thought it was a prank call. Is that a true story?
Kind of not. I think that's kind of been slightly...
Okay, so that is now celebrity false.
That is celebrity false.
But that is that must have been...
I mean, I didn't think it was a prank call. It wasn't like, oh, you know, you're not Sidney Pollack. Stop it. I mean, I did get a call from my agent saying, you know, Sidney wanted to meet with me. And I was deeply surprised, but I didn't think my agent was messing with
me. An all-time great, Sidney Pollack.
I mean, one of the greats, absolutely.
I mean, pretty much every movie, even him acting in every single, he's amazing.
Every performance he is in is spot on. My favorite being Tootsie, where he plays Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. You're a tomato!
The agent.
Spent 7 years living in Greece as a teenager. Is that a true story?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I went to high school. I graduated high school there. My dad was with the American Embassy when I was a kid. We were actually in Beirut, Lebanon, and the war got evacuated from Beirut to Athens, Greece. And my dad got reassigned to the embassy there and was there for actually 6 years, not seven.
No kidding. Yeah. So are you fluent in Greek? Are you?
Xeris ligo Hellenica.
Was that, what did you just say?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. No, I said I speak a little Greek, but you know, my wife and I took our kids over there a few years ago, and I definitely got yelled at by a few people when I was in, you know, trying to overextend my command of the language, but I could get around.
Well, you know, if it has nothing to do with Giannis these days, a sport, a Tetekumpo, we have no idea as a sports about whether you were talking Greek or not, unless we don't hear that name. Can you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't
right
even
now.
Know right now what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, what do you
Giannis,
mean?
Giannis, the NBA player.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, Giannis, that's John, as you know. Giannis is John, just so you know.
Actually, I did not know that.
Yeah, Giannis, Yorgos is George, Giannis is John.
So he's John Antetokounmpo?
That's right. That's right.
I had no idea. So
I don't think you're telling the truth.
I swear I am. Yeah, for sure. Giannis, absolutely.
So should I just call him Johnny A from now on?
From now on, you can.
Johnny A, my guy from the Bucks, Johnny A.
I'm like a Wikipedia page for you. You are right now. I mean, how have you guys survived on the show all these years without me?
Well, we gotta get you on more. Happy 58th birthday to Greg.
Oh, wow.
All right, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take this phone call before we set our ducks in a row with some news on Jacob DeGrom and what's going on with his shoulder. Terzo in Iowa, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, counselor?
Counselor.
You there, Terzo?
Oh, no.
Terzo.
He's literally been holding for 2 hours. I put him back on hold.
We'll put him on hold.
Better call Terzo.
He's working with
Cedar Rapids' finest.
What's going on with DeGrom, Christopher?
Yeah, don't give me no bad news, right, Brockman.
Phil's teeing off right now. That's looks right. Like he's going to be
stuff. It's okay.
In the
look at
rough
you.
Again.
No, he's all okay. Right. He's all right. He's not bad.
He's okay?
Hey, Chris.
That looks short stuff to me.
Okay, you're right.
Chris,
that's short stuff.
There. Tell me something good.
Tell me what's going on about DeGrom. Don't turn into Roger Maltby shot by shot right here.
I know,
okay?
It's been a rough week for TJ.
Losing everybody,
TJ
baby.
TJ sports teams.
Not really. Last night was the greatest Clippers victory in the history of the Los Angeles Clippers.
And you
Clippers.
Know what? Yeah, I want to ask you about that. Yeah. Are you more happy that the Clippers miraculously won, or are you more pissed about how the Sixers blew it?
Yeah. These are things that happen when you are a fan of two teams.
I can't stand you.
You don't like my air quotes when
like,
I say
what is fan. Greater, your pissed offness at the Sixers
or your
elation for... Yes.
That is very interesting because, you know, I'm sitting there watching, you know, and I had the Mets game on, I had the Sixers game on, so I'm feeling great. And I'm feeling great. And then DeGrom goes out and I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't so good. But then the Mets ended up winning and you're watching the Sixer game and it is just like, what is happening? So it's like,
he's avoiding the question.
He's really avoiding the question. Like, just give me an answer.
I don't really have
you
an answer.
You can't handle the truth.
It was anger. And then it was like, but like I told you yesterday, I believed. And I told you after the show, I said to you, watch, this is a game that the Clippers are going to end up winning. And they ended up winning. So
let me just, answer the question,
please,
Chris?
Rich,
can I tell you my observation? As you know, I observe for a living.
Yes.
I observe. Sometimes I opine. I place things in perspective. That's what I do professionally.
Gravitas.
I'm a professional. I am a professional perspective placer.
Okay.
That's what I do professionally.
Yes.
And many things. I do a lot of things professionally. Wow. He's going to be so upset with my take on this. He's going to be so upset. I'm giving you the front. I can't even look at him. So do me a favor. You tell me how he's handling. Okay. TJ is handling what I'm about to say.
I'm gonna go
well, you've been coming at me all day today. So
what do you mean all? Dude, this is me taking the middle key.
Oh, see.
Okay. Him not being able to answer if he's more pissed off about his favorite team from Philadelphia and the Sixers.
Yes.
Or more elated about his other favorite NBA team in Los Angeles is not just the latest indication of just how ridiculous having two favorite NBA teams is.
Okay.
Let's place that aside.
Stupid.
The ultimate thing that makes him more upset than anything else is what I'm about to touch on. The fact that he doesn't sit here and say, I am so incredibly pissed off about the Philadelphia 76ers. The Clippers thing is great. We still got to finish that thing, but that was great. That was pleasant surprise, whatever. Fact that he's not sitting here and answering, spitting fire about the Philadelphia 76ers is further proof that where he's from is not East Coast.
That was a long setup there.
Yes, but
if he was
he's not wrong.
If he was a true bona fide East Coaster.
You would have came in so hot and so mad.
Like beyond, right like, can't even see, like, can't even see.
Can't
straight.
Even see the good that happened last night to one of your favorite
because
teams.
Because the Sixers went on an absolutely unprecedented collapse. That, oh, look at that. Up there on the screen right there, the SportsCenter tweet about the Sixers had a 99.7% chance to win with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. This should make you so red hot.
You didn't see me yesterday. I was heated.
Well, you see, now that, you know what I'm saying?
But here's the deal.
I've been around East Coasters.
First of all, that's
Altoona's
the most,
not the East Coast.
First of all, that's the
nice hamlet in central Pennsylvania. Yeah,
that's the most ridiculous thing in the world to say because I don't come in here flailing around and I'm not an East Coaster. Two, like, yeah, maybe 10 years ago when I was younger, as I've told you many times, like, I would get so engaged in these games. If the Cowboys lost on Sunday, I'd be mad till Wednesday. I'd be pissed. But, like, you know what?
You're a better human. You're a better human.
There's nothing I can do, right? I'm not out there shooting jumpers or grabbing rebounds. So I just sit there and watch. Was I mad when that's... Yeah, like, I sat and stewed for 20 minutes while that Clipper game was on. I had to pause the game, and I just sat there.
20 whole minutes.
Yeah, because I let it go. Because what can I do about it? I'm not going to, you know... Plus, I'm not a hot take. I'm not going to come out here and start screaming. I don't think that's what these people want from me.
Can you put that shot up one more time of the parabola, or I guess the
you're
the
using
curve.
Big words, Rich. I don't understand.
That curve up. You know what that
so
looks
I'm going to take
like?
Him as a you sign know, of disrespect.
You know what that looks like? That looks a little like Cliffhanger from The Price is Right. Like they're yodeling, and then all of a sudden going straight up.
Well, if you wanted a hot take, I gave Chris one... This morning.
This guy's got an amazing hot take. Why haven't you said that on the air yet?
I'll say it right now.
Here we go. What do you
got? As much as I hate to say this, because I'm a fan of the guy and I've defended him on social media and Twitter especially.
Okay.
Ben Simmons, man, it's like you can't be that much of an offensive liability. I understand if you're not confident in your jumper, fine. But when you miss that many foul shots... And guys are fouling you, doing a hack-a-shack on you with 3 minutes left, and we essentially have to take you out for a minute and a half just so they won't foul you, and we end up losing by 3 points. It's like, I don't know what you do with that.
Well, at least he's got a head coach.
It might be time for him to go, and it might be time to get a package going with Portland, and let's see if we could get Dame to hook up with Embiid.
Guess who you could have had? Could have had James Harden.
Yeah, but guess what? James Harden's hurt right now, too. So... He'd be out regardless.
Wow, butterfly effect.
By the way, with all due respect, why the hell would the Blazers do anything like that? Because Lillard's demanding
his way out. Were you two saying the other day that he's got to go? I was pretty sure I heard that.
Not me. I haven't said that. I have not said that.
Wait, Dame or Ben Simmons? Yeah, I think Dame's got to go somewhere else. He's never going to win in Portland. But
I am never a they'll never win there type guy. Look at the Warriors. Honestly, who would have thought? The Warriors would be a gold standard organization. Come on. Don't forget who the Warriors used to be. Also, hold on a second. How are they going to ever win football games in New England? How will that ever happen? Don't forget what they were.
Also fair.
Okay. I mean, honestly, I will never buy into they'll never win a championship there because you never know who's around the corner, who's going to get drafted and become that next Curry.
But in the NBA,
Lillard.
You can see who's
honestly,
in front of you.
I know you can say that, and you can't sit here and say Damian Lillard will never win a championship in Portland. You just cannot say that. If he doesn't want to be there because he doesn't like management or he wants to pull like an Aaron Rodgers or something, that makes – or he doesn't like the area anymore or he feels he's not welcome in the town. Yeah. That's a different story. But you can't just sit there and go, I will never win a championship here. You can't say that. Why in the world – If Lillard isn't putting pressure on management saying, get me the hell out of here, why in the world would they ever say, okay, yeah, you know what? It's not working here. Let's start from scratch and take a guy who won't take a shot in the playoffs and trade away the greatest shot maker maybe the playoffs has seen this century. A guy who is just, I'm so fearless, I'll come across the timeline and hoist it and then wave bye-bye and point to my wrist and then walk it.
Well, again, that was never. The conversations between Chris and I, because Chris said that it's time for Dame to go.
I don't
believe that personally, but I do believe that it might be time for the Sixers to start exploring some options, because you can't be that much of a liability on the foul line. You can't. Three points was it.
So I know their coaches think, I can fix this guy. I mean, who would take Ben Simmons right now off this performance? At least you do have a head coach who's used to having somebody hacked all the time.
Yeah.
Right. He probably knows how to handle that situation best he can. But
all right, TJ, what's going on with DeGrom? Your good news. Our buddy John Heyman, a few minutes ago, DeGrom saw one doctor today. No issues. Mets are sending DeGrom for a second opinion as they understand the significance, but so far, a big relief.
I love how Heyman's referring to him as the NL MVP favorite, which he damn straight is.
I think he actually is.
Four earned runs given. I mean, we're all talking about Ohtani being, he can hit and he can pitch. What about DeGrom? I know DeGrom doesn't hit home runs.
By the way, Ohtani hit a bomb again.
And that's Ohtani the reason why we are talking about Ohtani. But
incredible.
DeGrom is a guy who, you know, and the number of times that, you know, I'm watching so much more baseball
Me
this
too.
Year because my sons and I, Taylor's getting a little interested in it too. By the way, she's got a hell of an arm. Oh, it's phenomenal. And so we're playing catch in the backyard, and she is just firing it in there. But at any rate, I'm watching so much baseball. The pitcher comes up. What a waste. What an absolute total waste. I'm an old school guy, too, but it is a waste of a batting opportunity.
Most of the time.
But here comes DeGrom, man. Six runs batted in, four earned runs given up. Nine outs last night, eight of them strikeouts. Holy crap.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It sure is. Amazing.
Yes. I like Jeff's comparing him to Pedro.
Yeah,
that makes
sure.
sense. But also I can remember, and unfortunately because I spent a decade watching this, first of all, the Braves had a bunch of pitchers, but Greg Maddux in particular, every time that dude, he wasn't throwing heat like DeGrom, obviously. But it was like a masterpiece.
That's because Maddux perfected the one pitch that I think is the greatest pitch by a right-handed pitcher against a left-handed hitter I've ever seen. And that's throwing it right at the left-handed hitter's hip, and it zips right back on the inside corner block. And he would hit that, like if you put a head of a pin on that inside corner, he would hit it 95% of the time. I mean, how many right-handed pitchers would say, I got this lefty. I got this guy. I got it. And I know how to set him up, change speeds, go here, there, and then just fire in that one pitch where it looks like it's going to hit the lefty on his hip, and halfway through the lefty's bailing out. And right across. I've never seen anybody. He was the best at that I have ever seen.
And because he wasn't throwing 90, 99, it wasn't exciting watching the Greg Maddux start. Right. But, man, it was beautiful to watch.
When the Yankees beat Maddux, and I believe that was Game 6 of the World Series in 1996, I think Girardi hit a triple off of him in 96. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I remember 96. They were unbeatable, and the fact that the Yankees beat them, boy, that Girardi had to love taking two from the Yankees this weekend. Had to love it. I got your binder right here.
Gotcha.
Which is what East Coasters say.
How dare you.
U.S. Open, Rich, we got a new leader, and his name is?
Let's take a break. We're back with that in a second. And Matt LaFleur has chimed in on the subject matter of Aaron Rodgers as he's out the door for the summer. That's how we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
It's summertime. I've got this big gig on Broadway coming up, and I thought,
you do.
Got to hang out with my family. Got to, you know, so they invite me out to do certain sporting events, throw the first pitch in a ball game.
Where are you doing that?
Did that in Akron, Ohio. Did a good, pretty good pitch. Then I went to Frederick, Maryland.
Okay.
Frederick Keys.
Frederick Keys, Maryland.
And they
Maryland.
Made these bobbleheads, of which this is one of.
Oh, my God, a Shooter McGavin bobblehead.
Shooter McGavin bobblehead.
Yes.
So.
Guys, awesome. Yeah, here it is.
There it is.
We'll have to place this in a very special spot here.
It's pretty funny. He's got the guns out, double barrels, leaning on his putter. It's pretty funny.
Isn't this amazing? Did you realize when you were doing that, Happy Gilmore, that that would be something that would stick with you for the rest of your
no
career?
No idea. I don't think anybody knows when they make a movie if it's going to, you know, have legs like this. But this is almost generational now. It's because of, you know, the beauty of television. When it first came out, it was a moderate hit. But now.
Right.
People love it and quote it.
But it's neat that you own it, right? I mean, you've got a. I just read everything that's going on in your. You got a hit. You're on a hit TV show on HBO. I mean, that Broadway revival of The Front Page.
It's going to be massive.
Holy smokes. Yeah. But you own this Shooter McGavin thing. Some other actors, I think, might not do that.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed the movie. I was a joy working with Adam and Dennis Dugan, these wonderful writers and, you know. It's just Judd Apatow was a co-writer, and these guys are, you know, comedy gold. So
right. To
be with them and to have this movie last as long as it has, it's opened a lot of doors up for me, you know, personally and
sure. And
then professionally. So it's just been a gas.
And did you come up with the shooting?
Yeah, I had no idea why they called him Shooter. Nobody told me anything, so I just started making putts and going, Shooter.
But so that was your call.
That was my call. And the very funny thing about this movie, I've told this story, but forgive me if I've told you before.
It's okay, go for it.
End of the movie. You know how I hate in a golf movie where they cut to the hole and the ball rolls in? I want to say, could you please let me make it? It's about a 32-footer. Mm-hmm. And it's not on a golf green. It's on a botanical garden. So he told me he'd give me like seven tries. And that's try five. And I lifted out twice. But people were betting. The crew was going, he's never going to do this. And so you see who your friend is? And when I put that baby in there and I did it, choke on that baby. And I just did that whole Shooter shimmy thing at the end.
Amazing.
That's the one they left in the movie. And it's so freaking, so freaking wrong.
Fantastic. By the way, I don't know if you guys watch Hacks, which is going to probably win some Emmys and be nominated for some Emmy Awards. Gene Smart plays a longtime comedian in Vegas, and I don't know the name of the actress off the top of my head, but it's Lorraine Newman's daughter, and she's tremendous in it, playing a writer, a younger writer. He plays the head of the casino.
Oh, he
he's tremendous. Chris McDonald is tremendous in Hacks.
Right.
It's great to see. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. All right, Christopher, finish your sentence that I cut you off to keep people through our break because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. What do you got over there, Chris?
Oh, baby. He started on the back nine, guys. He birdied 12. He birdied 17.
Nice.
And he just hit a tremendous short approach into the famous 18th tap-in for birdie. Our new leader at the U.S. Open
is
two-time champion Brooks Koepka.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Let's go.
Oh, baby. And that leads me into this perfect promotional announcement that the 121st U.S. Open, and as we know, this is a major that forgives no one and rewards greatness, from Torrey Pines Father's Day weekend today and throughout the U.S. Open. You could see it on Peacock at 9:45 a.m. in the morning, on Golf Channel starting at a half an hour past noon Eastern time, and then tonight. 7 Eastern time on NBC. That's the beauty of this. I'd love major tournaments on the left coast.
Absolutely.
Prime time golf, baby. And as you know, Monday is the longest day of the year. So we got We got beautiful sunsets coming up, and it's great, man.
Bryson DeChambeau tees off at 2:44 local.
The scientist.
The scientist. Your defending champion.
Okay. Speaking of the Jeopardy host. Okay, I didn't know Matt LaFleur was speaking to the media today.
I didn't either.
I guess the Packers are breaking for the summer. School's out. School's out. And the main, the valedictorian is still not there. And, all right, these are two sound bites that I had the crack staff of the Rich Eisen Show, D-Lo and Smitch. They went at it, and they got these sound bites. I have not heard them. I will react to them one at a time, if you will. Or, I don't know. Let's hear the first one. This is Matt LaFleur, Packers head coach. The subject of Rodgers might have been touched upon.
What are the challenges that the uncertainty of quarterback create for you as you get ready for camp? And how much does it help to have an off season to get you ready for camp?
We're excited about a training camp. We're excited about this football team. I think the character of this team is really high. I think, you know, the challenge is, can you recreate that magic that, you know, we've been able to the last couple of years and become a close-knit, connected team with great player leadership? And but no, we're excited about just what the future could hold. And you know, you just got to take it day by day in terms of everything else that's going out there, and control the things that you can control. And that's you know, the attitude, the how you prepare, and the effort that you give on a daily basis.
Control what you can control.
Coaching cliche bingo. Let's go.
Yeah. By the way, Belichick used the only talking about the guys that are here with Stephon Gilmore. That was when I'm sitting at my son's graduation. I'm seeing these emails that pop up every now and then, you know, and a break in the action. And I'm like, that was the one. I was pining. I'm like, damn it, I can't believe I'm not on my show and Belichick's using one of my favorite cliches. All right, let's get the next soundbite from Matt LaFleur. I want to take it all in.
So what's the point of having all these other quarterbacks if they're not going to actually get snaps or many snaps?
Well, I think it's there's so many more components than just the 11-on-11 team drills or the 7-on-7s. It's you're throwing routes on air. And, you know, as good as I'd like to think I can throw the ball, or Luke Getsy can throw the ball, You want NFL quarterbacks throwing those to the receivers, backs, whoever it may be. So you need those arms. And I'm sure, like, as we get closer to training camp and, you know, things could become a little bit more clear for us, we potentially could make an adjustment there.
Hit it, Mike. Hit it.
What were they really thinking?
Why are there all these quarterbacks here? Really? 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 Did you just ask me why there are all these quarterbacks here?
Why are there?
Why do you think there's all these quarterbacks here? Why do you think? You're a smart guy. You cover football. Did you watch Kenny Mayne's last SportsCenter? I'm not talking about him cursing the guy out. I'm talking about he's not here. Jordan Love, we're not going to make his arm fall off. We got all these players that are here. You know about camp arms. I know I'm not going to give you an answer on Aaron Rodgers other than the fact that maybe we'll make an adjustment. Yeah, here's the deal. What I mean, we'll make an adjustment. All these guys better not give up their job at the Home Depot, because if Rodgers shows up, their asses are cut. Is that plain enough English for you, why we have all these quarterbacks here? Man, I feel for Matt LaFleur. And, you know, while we're just on the subject, subject of just parsing everything, that Aaron Rodgers, DeChambeau, Brady Mickelson Palooza, Brian Anderson Palooza, that they did the Zoom, the promotional Zoom.
A couple days ago.
And Brady tweeted out, how many times can I make this joke, do you think, before we play and get out of Dodge? And it was Brady, once again, verbalizing in front of Rodgers his initial fantastic troll job when this thing first was announced, telling DeChambeau, get used to not having a partner who's not used to going for it, right?
Going for it, man.
Brady goes, I think you've got a partner with that probably have liked to go for it a little more often than he has in the past. So, Bryce, I'm glad you're encouraging him to kind of go for it when it's on the line rather than just knocking it into the fairway or something like that and try to play for the next shot. And DeChambeau, you know, doesn't seem to be, you know, much of the jokester.
He does not.
Yeah, I'll never push anyone to do anything so he can choose whatever he wants to do. And then Rogers says, well, I usually don't get the option in my experience. DeChambeau goes, that's what I mean. You'll finally have the option, Aaron. And then Brady, to the point where, again, I'm reading this on the screen. It got so awkward, Brady even said at the end, I know the pain. So while we're parsing everything, including the I'm offended shirt and what he's thinking and blurring his background and all of that stuff, every single time that I've tweeted about or sent out a video about my two cents on something that Jay Glazer said yesterday on our friend McAfee show, he still wants out. So you got James Jones saying, I can fix this. Just put me in a room with everybody. And then Glaze, who talks to everybody, says he still wants out, and we're trying to see everything. I'll be honest with you, because again, who the hell knows if he's really offended or he's making fun of the media that we're parsing everything like I'm about to do. But this is all we got to hang our hats on right now in the middle of June. Is I first thought that I'm like, the number of times that whenever I give my two cents on the subject and I read some of the comments, I read them. And people are like, yeah, well, when you say he's upset with management, he loves his coaches. He said he's got nothing problem with the coaches. Well, he knows this stuff is coming from Brady. I would just suggest to my friend from Malibu / Wisconsin / Berkeley / Butte College / Chico, California, the comeback needs to be punched up a little bit because it's coming. And when I read that, I thought, like, that's a guy who's not going to play for that coach anymore. I literally thought that. I could be so far off. Admit that. I'm fully admitting that. I could be so far off. But I saw that. I'm like, wow. You know that's coming. You know it's coming. And his response was essentially, yeah. I find I don't get that option. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong, Christopher.
Yeah, I don't think
so. No, coach, you can absolutely feel free. I mean, I can.
Not wrong.
I mean, honestly, I heard that. I'm like, huh.
I don't think he's playing for Green Bay this
honestly,
year,
like, and here's the problem is Brady is so on top of the world right now. What do you come back with? You know, like, you know, you need a few more electrolytes on your humor, Tom. You already used that one. Yeah. Or you know, I think you're inflating your opinion of things. I don't know. He's so unbesmirchable in that respect because the guy is Tom effing Brady.
Yeah.
But to basically say, yeah, you know, you're right. I don't get those options. I thought to myself, is this guy really done? Because this is the coach that's on the griddle every single second, getting a phone call from his buddy Kyle. Day of the draft. Hey, you know, I'm about to choose Trey. About to go in this direction. You know, for the last 6 weeks we've had this plan, but I'm ready to pitch it for your guy. If you tell, just tell me. I want to wake up tomorrow and find out Aaron Rodgers was had, and I didn't even call my friend. This is Kyle, by the way.
Two things before we finish up today, Rich. Dolphins fans got heated yesterday at us. So fair, yes. Equal time. Tua had 6 touchdowns in practice yesterday, as opposed to the 5 picks of the day before.
You're correct. I'm glad we've
just
at least
just want to get that out.
We didn't
there.
Use the same intensity to use the Michael Irvin phrase,
but we are okay. Mentioning it.
And Chris, why not look at it like this? The Dolphins' defense had 5
yeah,
picks.
Yeah, I guess so. And just breaking, Naomi Osaka has withdrawn from Wimbledon.
Oh my gosh,
she's going to take some personal time with friends and family and be ready for the Olympics.
Oh,
so she will participate in the Olympics?
Correct.
Well, I'm sure that'll be up for subject matter tomorrow on Friday's edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll tell you who our guests are.
Be nice to me tomorrow,
on the radio. We're out of time, so go to our Twitter feed @Rich Eisen Show for that. We'll take you to Brother from Another on Peacock in a second.